the Football Sack.
Yes, that's right. It is the Football Sack podcast, the Sack on Sunday. We got in a little bit of trouble last week because it's on Sunday and people were listening to it on a Monday, and some of the information that had come out on the Monday, we didn't know yet. We record on a Sunday, and so if things are determined on the Monday, we apologize. We sincerely apologize.
One thing we did screw up, and we have to put our hands up and say we are wrong for having done that, was say that Brisbane Roar had lost their first game. They had not lost their first game. They lost their second game.
Yeah.
They'd clearly lost a Melbourne Victory before that. We knew that. We assumed for some reason in the studio that that was their first loss.
So we're apologising to start off the show. We're doing a bit of housekeeping. So that person apologising for the Brisbane Roar mistake was Michael Rocek. It was in no means his sole mistake. It was the whole team. We apologise as a team, don't
as
we, Rocek?
Yes, we're all apologising. Peter, you apologising?
Check.
That's my gig.
Early on, we've got the Czech game in check. Supernova, on the buttons there. Thank you very much for joining us.
On the dials. Hello, hello.
All right, housekeeping is now out of the way. We can talk football news.
I'll put the broom away, Bunter.
Today we'll be talking about the pre-season friendlies that have been going on. Sydney FC drew with Perth Glory here in Sydney. Adelaide United, they drew as well to Melbourne Victory. And that was down at Hindmarsh Stadium in Adelaide. We will reveal the final chapter in my membership saga. For those of you... For people that have been listening to the podcast for a little bit, we'll probably know what's going on here, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. And then finally, unusually, people have been agreeing with Supernova's rant.
What?
Yeah, that's a bit of an interesting one because that's not what's supposed to happen. So later in the show, we will have Pete Goes Supernova. All right, it's all done. Intro's out of the way. First off, I think we're going to talk Brisbane Roar because we made the mistake, so we've got to talk them up.
I am so pumped for the start of the A-League season. It's coming up really soon, and we've had these pre-season matches being played and run and won, and Brisbane Roar have got back to winning ways, haven't they, Matt?
They have, and they got a 3-0 win over University of Queensland, UQ, and that was after, yeah, their two losses. First off, against Melbourne Victory, and that was down in Tasmania, and I uphold that because it happened in Tasmania...
It never happened.
It never happened.
You're going to upset a lot of Tasmanians for saying that.
I've got family in Tassie. Tassie's a beautiful place, but there's no A-League team there.
Yet.
And second off, they also lost to Adelaide United. And that was the game we were talking about. All our points that we talked about last week still stand.
Absolutely.
So, Eugenie Buckley, the CEO, has stepped down, and they are also looking at new owners. So that might, I think that's in the final steps of taking place.
Oh, apparently. So
apparently. It's alleged that some Indonesian buyers are out there.
Yeah.
Well, at the moment, the FFA runs the club.
Exactly.
And they're keen to get some new investment in. And we've seen that midweek, how well that's happened with Wellington Phoenix. We had the well-publicised events of Terry Serapesos being in debts to reportedly the tune of $200 million.
That's a lot of moolah.
It's just pocket money, you know.
Or is it
just hiding behind the couch?
Well, he went to the New Zealand High Court and said, I've got properties worth $250 million and I'm going to sell them so that I can now keep being solvent and keep running the Wellington Phoenix Club.
I'll give him $5.
But he didn't sell them?
Or? Well, it's a court case that has to play out. I'm not sure what happened.
Regardless, the new owners of Wellington are called the Phoenix Five.
Wow. That's awesome. I'm so excited about that.
Are they the Justice League of Wellington?
I love this
idea.
Do
they wear capes to work?
Yes.
Do they have a logo that gets shot up in the sky from a spotlight that looks like a phoenix?
They so should.
If they don't, get on it now.
It would have to be a burning phoenix, like, that shoots up into the sky.
Magic. Straight out of the cake tin, up into the sky.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's just organise it. Yeah. We'll do it ourselves.
Every time they need money, Wellington Phoenix needs some money. Or
new idea. Everyone who has a
every
torch,
time there's a game.
Anyone who has a torch and that the club is playing at night, just attach like a little phoenix signal to the front of your torch, shine that out on a wall, and be like the Phoenix Fire.
In lieu of having some sweet technology, you can do it with a torch.
Yeah. There you go.
I would
do
say,
it yourself with the football. Sorry.
I would say that the Phoenix Five would have the sweet technology and they wouldn't need a torch.
Yeah.
Quite
but
yes.
But it is New Zealand and there's not much technology there.
Oh,
hey, Tasmania and New Zealand offended in the first 5 minutes.
So a couple different clubs getting new owners, hopefully, for Brisbane Roar. Pre-season games. Let's talk that. because yesterday, Pete and myself, we went to Sydney FC versus Perth Glory.
Now, okay, before you get into this game, you know it's a Sydney FC home game when it's raining, it's cold, it's windy. You've got people sending you texts to give you excuses why they're not going to go to the game.
But 3,500
people. 3,500 people still turned up, which is really, really good.
Excellent.
And that was
the
family fun
game.
Day, which included free fairy floss.
Free fairy floss.
Free
I took
popcorn.
Advantage.
You guys are still coming down from the sugar high.
Yes, we are.
Free.
Now, this was my favorite bit. There was a petting zoo.
Nice.
Wow.
Yes, there
I
was.
Didn't see the petting zoo. But that isn't that great that there was some petting happening.
Petting.
That game resulted in a 2-2 draw. Liam Miller, it's probably the main story from it, other than Emerton playing his first game for Sydney FC.
Yep.
He looked quite injured. He got stretchered off in...
Liam Miller, not Brett Emerton.
Let's clarify. Liam Miller...
Calm your nerves, Pete.
And he's
Calm
the you. Irish international that has signed for Perth Glory. And there's an article up on him on the Football Sack. So check that out. But also...
Convenience!
Yeah.
Fingers crossed he's okay, though, because that's a huge dent in Perth Glory's squad.
They actually looked, for my money, they outperformed Sydney last night.
They did to a certain extent. Sydney FC played some fantastic football, but they really dropped off around about the 50th minute when Brett Emerton came off. Their football just...
They also changed a lot of the team.
That
they
is
kept
true.
Making substitutions, and that would have affected their play. Perth Glory, I don't think, made as many
But let's,
subs.
Let's talk about these goals for a split sec. First one, Nick Cole scoring about the 30th minute. He had a shot, was saved by Danny Ukovic. Brett Emerton has a shot, hits the post, comes back out. Nick Cole buries it away.
That shot that Brett Emerton had, he should have buried that because it was from about 2 metres away, and he hit the post from 2 metres away right in front. He wasn't on the side of the goal. He was directly in front of the goal.
It was. Now, around about the 40th minute, Billy Mamet, the guy that I was trying to tell you guys about last week.
Trying being the right word because you couldn't say his surname.
Shut up. Now, he scored for Perth Glory just before half time, making it 1-1 at the break. As the teams came back out, around about the 50th minute, Brett Emerton scored a penalty, awarded after Terry McFlynn was brought down in the box. And then to round up the game, Todd Howitt.
Was it Mark Bridge?
I was sitting on the other side of the field. I couldn't see it.
Someone got taken down in the
someone
box.
Someone was brought down in the box. And then to round up, Todd Howarth scoring the winning equalising goal there.
Good game of football.
I think...
So we need to focus perhaps on the back four who let Perth Glory back into the game twice. Sydney were up 1-0 and 2-1.
Very easily as well, because the first goal was a square pass from the edge of the box, and which shouldn't have been ever.
Mm.
It should have been dealt with much earlier.
So we had Liam Reddy in goals.
Yep.
Correct. We had Jamison, Boshart, Beauchamp, and Jamison.
Jamie Coyne was...
Jamie Coyne, rather. Yep. Said Jamison twice.
He's so cool, you named him twice.
Yeah, that's right. We had him on the Beyond the 90 the week before last. But what's happening there? What are your impressions? Is it early gelling issues?
Quite possibly. The boss is moving forward a fair bit. He's not playing that sweeper role
that we would probably
expect him to.
A number of times we thought, what are you doing up there, Boshart?
Is it actually a direct replacement for Stefan Keller? Keller used to go forward a fair bit, if you remember him from Sydney FC's last season.
Well, we can remember him. He was
he can't remember
balls.
Him.
Let's move on from Sydney FC versus Perth Glory, because there was another friendly down in Adelaide. That was at Hindmarsh Stadium. It resulted in a 1-1 draw. Adelaide and Melbourne victory.
9,500 people there as well.
That's a lot of people for a pre-season friendly.
We spoke to a person in the Adelaide football fraternity, Nat Adamopoulos on Beyond the 90, and she could not stop talking about Harry Kewell. And it gives you a kind of feel for what Harry Kewell fever is happening as it sweeps the nation. And as he travels around, I believe this is going to be more and more people just peeking and talking about Harry Kewell constantly.
And she called him the David Beckham of the A-League.
Mm.
And she didn't want to call him that, but it's kind of true.
It is very true. I think that when a league starts up, you have that developmental stage, there's a big sort of honeymoon period, and then it drops off a little bit. Then you have a huge player that comes and plays in the league. Hopefully it's a homegrown player, in our case it is.
Yep.
And now we're going to see this sort of avalanche of interest in one player, maybe Brett Emerton as well. Mm. It can only be good for the development of any league, and it really is a pattern. I believe it's a pattern. And I think that with Harry Kewell there, wherever he goes, he's going to have this effect.
Now, Kewell did actually get to play 45 minutes in that game. Those 45 minutes, he received praise from not only his own coach, Durakovic, but also Rini Kulin was very impressed and said that every defender is going to have to raise their level this season if they're going to be able to keep up with Harry Kewell.
Awesome.
And those strips that they were playing in, the away strips, I love them.
Mm.
I really enjoy them.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I reckon they look like council workers. I reckon they look like they're taking care of their OHS considerations and, you know, you can't miss them.
And I compared them to the referees' strips.
Right.
Surely when Melbourne Victory are playing in their away strip, the referee will not be able to wear yellow.
The refs are always on Melbourne Victory's side anyway.
Oh.
Don't tell Victory.
If you want to get abuse at Michael Roshek for saying that comment, find us on Twitter and send us a message. Twitter.com/thefootballsite.
But let's talk about that. 1-1, Andy Slorry opening the scoring, and then Hernandez in the second half, I believe, and it was 1-1.
Yeah, yep. very late in the second half.
Typical of Carlos Hernandez, scoring 88th minute. Melbourne Victory, getting the equaliser when it counts. Mm. And to be honest, that really helps them in their campaigns. If you look at how they've gone in the past, they're always the team who play the full 90 minutes while other teams try and ease off a bit. Mm. So they're a bit of the Manchester United of the A-League, I guess.
I expect big things from them this season.
Definitely.
There are a number of clubs that I expect big things from.
There's so much competition, and I think that's brilliant. I mean, Central Coast, we've talked about them for eons. They're going to be a very strong side. Brisbane as well, although they've got some new personnel that they have to bring into the squad. Newcastle are doing really, really well.
And do you know how you can find out about all the clubs' pre-season campaigns?
No, tell us how.
The Football Sack is doing preview articles of every team. So by the start of the Hyundai A-League season kickoff, every team will be previewed. So you'll find out all the... I think all the team lineups are in there, why they'll win the league, why they'll lose the league. A lot of information, so check that out on the Football Sack. There's a couple up already. I think the Perth Glory one is going up on Sunday, and then tomorrow is my turn with Sydney FC.
And I'm going to be putting up a Central Coast Mariners pre-season review.
I'm talking about Wellington Phoenix, so there we go.
So plenty of preview articles to delve into and have a look at. Now, Pete, you and I talked about this last night. Hashtags. For the upcoming A-League season, because we want to get a bit of alignment happening between us, between everyone out there, everyone listening to the show that is on Twitter, between the FFA, and make sure that we can get, during A-League games, that we can get hashtags trending.
Yeah, same thing as what's happened in the NRL for people who would know Twitter very well. The hashtag was trending was like NRL and then Sid, Warriors, whatever. And that way you know that it's the Roosters versus the Warriors. We want that same kind of continuity which is going through.
So we are putting together a list of abbreviations that will be put together to combine to form the hashtag for that game. Mm. And we will send that to the FFA. We'll let them know that this is what's happening.
Yep. Because let's be specific here, though. We can get it out through Australian Football Facebook.
Yep.
We can get it out through Gibbo, who's actually now at the FFA. He's got a job there.
Starts there on Monday.
So
congratulations, mate.
Congratulations to Gibbo, who's one of the founders of Australian Football Facebook. He's the head of digital communities, or I believe it is.
He's so a jack of all trades.
We can get it out through him.
And we're really looking to work with the FFA on this.
Absolutely.
And everyone out there on Twitter, so you guys that are listening, we really want your help.
We are football.
We are football, and we want to make A-League trend every game, every
Absolutely.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Not just in the grand final, not for the occasional Zara bicycle kick.
Yeah.
I know that trended.
Or any time that, like, Musket would kick someone in the head. We want it to be happening every week that it's going to be trending.
Yeah.
So if you've got suggestions for what these tweets, hashtags could be, you can always send us an email, info@thefootballsack.com.
Mm.
I'm compiling a list at the moment of suggested hashtags we could be using.
Perhaps it could be HAL, Sid, FC.
Yeah, exactly.
Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, there's plenty of different
There's plenty
ideas
to go
out
through,
there.
So let's discuss it on Twitter.
It's a team effort, and that's how it works.
Right. We've done the preseason games. What is not in preseason is the New South Wales Premier League. They're well into the back end of their season. Sydney Olympic are definitely in the grand final, as we found
out
last
week. Yep.
But to be decided after this show goes to air.
For our podcast listeners who might get offended that we don't have it right up to date, we won't re-record this on Monday when we know.
And they email in, I think it's Jonathan. Jonathan emailed in saying, hey, you got this wrong. It's been decided already.
Okay, Jonathan.
We know. Versus either Sydney United or Blacktown.
Yes.
That will be a great grand final Monday week on a public holiday.
Exactly.
So get out and watch that.
Without a doubt. Now, we also have the Brisbane Premier League Grand Final, which is happening between Brisbane Wolves and Rochdale Rovers. That's 5 p.m. kickoff Sunday.
Obviously, there will be a result.
There will be results. We'll advertise that on the Twitter sphere, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah. And there will be a match report up from the Grand Final.
Oh, snap. Mm. Brilliant. Wicked. WA All Flag State League. We also had the Grand Final, which is going to be between Perth Soccer Club and Sorrento next Sunday. 2 p.m. We don't know what venue it is yet.
Oh, okay.
Stay tuned for that one.
Venue undecided. That's
to be confirmed.
That's quite a short deadline to have decided a venue for it.
Nah, plenty for the grand of time. Final. We've got a week. What do you want about?
WA, they're on the ball over there, aren't they?
It. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to talk some more football.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Now, usually, we've got some giveaways. The Football Sack podcast, we're known for giving a lot of stuff away.
You mean we're not giving away something today?
Not this week.
Oh.
Look, in the past, we've given away books. One got Past the Keeper, fantastic book about parenthood and six-a-side football. So we've had a few winners from that. Last season, we gave away a whole membership. Well, like 2 tickets each week. This season, we've got some to give away as well.
Wicked.
So we will talk about that later on in the coming weeks over the season.
We've got 13 days. Yeah. So it's almost here.
So stay tuned. Keep listening to the podcast because there will be many chances to win. But this week, we're not giving something away, but something was given away to one of us.
Hello.
At halftime, between Sydney FC and Perth Glory, Matt G gets a call up and says, come down the front and participate in a juggling competition. Now, Matt isn't really known for his juggling skills.
Silky smooth mic skills.
Yeah. But,
and shoe purchasing skills as well. We'll come into this story very soon.
Matt, talk us through it. How was this juggling competition? What were you thinking?
Did you stretch?
I was given the call by Shane from memberships at Sydney FC because I'd renewed my membership, as we talked about on the show over the past couple of weeks. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Pete. In the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about this issue of myself getting a membership. And 2 weeks ago, I said, look, I'm not going to get one because I'm going to be in the media box.
Met with condemnation.
Yeah.
That was.
I thought maybe I don't need one because I won't be using it.
Yeah.
Second week, so last week, I decided, I got a lot of backlash. There was a bit of backlash.
There was.
Not just from you guys, but on the Twitter sphere as well. I think one fan said, what's Matt waiting for? Is he waiting for the bandwagon?
Yeah.
Well, I have a feeling he was waiting for peer pressure. Now, kids, peer pressure is wrong.
What brought me over the line was Dirk Melton. Because in his weekly report that he's been writing every week for the past 3 months, he was a bit disappointed that current members hadn't renewed yet. So I thought, that's me. That's me. I haven't renewed. So at the fan day on Saturday, I did it. And consequently got into this competition.
Nice.
For the on-field entertainment. I won. So I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at juggling.
Let's backtrack here. Let's backtrack here. We've heard a little bit about how you won. Let's talk us through the competition itself. I mean, how many stages were in the process? Was it sort of like a group stage and a semi-final?
It was a knockout cup.
Look, it went straight to a final.
Straight to a final. Yeah. Okay, who are you up against?
Some really proficient footballer.
By the name of...
Megan.
Is it like she Brazilian? She's got one name or...
Nope. She's just
a Australian. Bit like Cher.
She's 5 foot.
She was a singer.
But she was really good at football.
Yeah,
she was fantastic.
So how many juggles, first of all, did she get?
Plenty.
Right.
Two.
Wow, that was tough. And did you go after that?
No, I actually went before.
Oh, okay. So
he set the bar.
And how high was the bar when you set it?
It was pretty high. 10.
Well, that's not too bad, considering the shoes that you've got on.
Can I just say, these shoes I bought the day before.
Yeah.
And they're not made for juggling. I did contemplate wearing the sneakers to the...
These boots are made for walking.
They're more so made for walking. And singing whilst walking, but not for juggling.
Well, I'm going to take a photo of these shoes. I'm going to put them up on Twitter because, look, to juggle 10 in... these boots was something. And so you beat a little girl for a prize. Good on you, mate. So what did you get out of this?
What is your prize?
I got plenty of stuff. I got a whole Sydney FC away jersey, which I'm wearing currently. And I got a soccer ball, Sydney FC soccer ball, 2 bags.
You sound like a kid at Christmas time.
And I got a hat. So wonderful prize there from memberships at Sydney FC. So it just shows you, if you sign up as a renewed member, there will be chances to win. So if you haven't already signed up as a member, get on that right now because your club needs you.
And you can beat a little girl for prizes.
Snap.
Right. I've got a picture of that shoe that's going up there right now as well on
Twitter. We'll talk about it.
There you go.
Okay, a bit more about this story because whilst I was doing this halftime entertainment, I got chatting to Carol Kissel, who was there presenting me the award.
who Michael still claims is the reason why he's back in Sydney.
That's right. Mm. That's right. Saw him play in Prague, yeah. Came back to Sydney.
There you go.
Yeah. The football sack is check. Doing things for... Yeah, we can check that off.
Check.
He was saying, because he's injured at the moment, and I was asking him if he'll be fit, trying to get a bit of a scoop. As always, put my journo hat on. I'm not sure if he'll be ready for the first game. He said he does have the belief that he will attempt to be fit, but he's still not training with the team.
Yep.
So as of Friday, he did a hard training session, but not with the team as of yet. Possibly Terry Antonis in there as cover.
So there you go. Inside news with the sack.
The We Are Football campaign, Pete.
Yes.
What's that all about? Tell us in a few sentences what you're doing.
A few sentences. The We Are Football campaign is hitting off across Australia. You might see a couple of people waving their flags around the place. They include people, Murray Stevens in Perth, Nat Adamopoulos in Adelaide, Melton Jusky and Paul Fredrickson in Brisbane, Jonathan Gibbs and Scott Condon in Melbourne, as well as Brian Gibson and myself here in Sydney. And yeah, keep an eye out.
You've got a whole team behind you.
Yes,
you've got these We Are Football t-shirts and you've got these We Are Football flags. And if you see a flag at a game, head over there because they'll take your picture and we'll check
exactly.
You on the,
all the photos will interwebs. End up, yeah, all the photos will end up with FFA in the end and we'll get them up on Facebook so that way everyone can see where the photos are going and compare yourself to everyone else. I took my photo with my North Queensland Fury jersey, just because I could.
Yeah. So what a great way to help out the We Are Football campaign and to help out football in general.
Now, something that doesn't happen very regularly is people agreeing with me.
That's very true, Pete. And last week on the show, you were ranting about David Beckham. And we had a couple of responses to that. One was from Jonathan Peterson. He said, yep. Now, wait, what was your rant? That David Beckham...
My rant is, why should we see David Beckham back in Australia playing games when we could watch New York Red Bulls or Seattle Sounders or Portland Timbers come out here where you get a better crowd and you get to see a variety of the MLS?
Well, Jonathan Peterson agrees with you. He said, yep, that makes sense. Fozzie was making a similar point in yesterday's Herald.
There you go.
Patrick Barnes has written in and he has said, I agree with the David Beckham rant.
Oh.
And I agree with the Malaysia rant.
Oh.
Now, this is a big turnaround.
And he's finished that by saying, end of story.
End of story. This was a really big turnaround from the last weekend because when we were doing that podcast, you were met with condemnation from all quarters.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one thing we know about the supernova rant, or when you go supernova, that is that it will polarize views.
Mm. Needs to be controversial. Mm. So in that respect, we are now going to go to...
Pete's Go Supernova.
This week, I thought I'd pick a topic very close to a lot of people's heart, which is the foreign player rule. Now, this is changing from the 4+1 rule, which is currently in effect, also known as 5 foreign players, which is going to be changing to a 3+1 rule, or a 4-player rule, for the 2012-2013 season. Now, what I don't agree with this is why on earth are we getting rid of a foreign player? We are trying to introduce more foreigners and promote the league. Why should we get rid of them? It's absolutely stupid. Now, we've got players such as Alex Smith, who went up to Gold Coast, got himself a contract. Next thing he knows, he's getting told, nah, mate, we don't want you here anymore. We want Marco Richards. Like, what the hell is the point of that? That's just stupid. Now, how are we meant to promote the game, as well as say to foreigners overseas, oh, I come to play football in Australia, if there's a rule like this in effect? Now, we saw that Juho Mikaela missed out on a place for Sydney FC in the ACL campaign just because he's a foreigner and we had enough, Sydney FC had enough players in their team already. But for goodness sake, why on earth do we have to cut back on the foreign players? Yeah, sure, we can promote the Australians, but how's it going to improve the quality of the league?
And that was...
Pete Goes Supernova.
So if you have a response to that, if you agree, disagree... Probably more so if you disagree. Let us know at info@thefootballsack.com. Michael?
Well, look, I'd like to see the A-League really be the nursery for Australian footballers. I'd like to see more Australian footballers getting given a go. I think the short-term view is that, well, foreign players are better. Maybe that's the case, maybe it's not the case. I probably don't agree with that. But if you take the longer-term view, you look at the English football team right now, there's nobody there. There's nobody there. They're picking guys from the championship because they can't make it in the Premier League. And you get lots of foreigners who are rubbish playing in the Premier League. you've got to have some sort of sense of reality, and I believe reducing it, making it 3+1 with an Asian player, I think it's a good move.
Yeah, and I am going to...
Sit on the fence?
Well, I think I'll wait for public opinion. Yeah. I do have my view, but I think I'll wait. I'll let other people decide before influencing them at all, because I know I'm quite influential in everything that I say and do.
That was sure such thing. A fence sitter. Well. The whole bit there was like, well, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, I'll just repeat what everyone else did.
Do I have a job as a lawyer?
Look, well, you'd have to take a position. Someone would come to you with an argument, a position, and you would be paid to be their mouthpiece.
What job could I do as a fence sitter?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Unemployment.
Yeah.
Centrelink.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is about all we have time for on the Football Sack podcast. Tune in next week. I think what we've got organized, boys, is a joint podcast between...
Whoa. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I've told you this yet, but that was a goal combined with Backpage Football.
Right on.
Neil Sherwin, who is also writes for the Football Sack, is editor of Backpage Football, yep. An Irish and European blog and website. And they are going to get together with us, and we're going to do a preview show. The massive, massive A-League preview show.
It's excellent.
The biggest thing that's happened in football in years.
Yeah.
In football podcasts.
Yeah, in the football podcast world, we're going to have a cross-continental podcast session where we advertise the A-League to the world, and the world will listen.
So that will go on every show's podcast, every feed will have that.
Excellent.
The same show. Jack Quigley, I think, will feature on that.
Captain Jack.
Yeah, as well as Neil Sherwin from Backpage Football.
The Irish guy.
Along with someone, a representative from That Was A Goal. So Adriano.
Hopefully
possibly.
Dave, who got kicked out of Foreign Athena.
That's really, really good. Backpage Football has a massive following
Don't
in
they?
Europe. And we need to get our name and our brand out there as the A-League. And what better way to do it? The community is giving us something.
We are football.
We are football.
Check.
We are football, and we will see you next week.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.